Our scripture reading this morning is from the book of James, chapter 4, verses 1 through 10. You can follow along in your Bibles, and if anyone needs a Bible, please raise your hand and we'll see that one is delivered to you. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that he jealously longs for the Spirit he has caused to dwell within us? But he gives us more grace. That is why the Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Kevin. We are in the last of our Thankful for What series, and we've been talking about how we can be thankful for the things in our lives that we probably wouldn't thank God for, things like rough roads and thorns. Like I said, next week we will start our Advent series, but before we get to Advent, we're going to celebrate what? Thanksgiving. Who is going to have pie at their Thanksgiving dinner? How many of you are going to have pumpkin pie? How many of you are going to have apple pie? So those of you who didn't raise your hands at those, what flavor of pie are you going to have? Ooh, chocolate. What, Mickey? Chocolate pecan? Ooh.
Coconut cream.
Coconut cream. I might be hitting up y'all's houses after I'm done with mine.
Miami.
Miami. Ooh, that's a long drive. So we are thankful for those delicious additives to our Thanksgiving meals, right? What about humble pie? Do we ever give thanks for humble pie, for a slice of it? Some of you might be saying, I'm not even sure I know what that is. So if we look at the definition for humble, I want to show you two different entries. And I actually don't have it on the screen, so you have to listen to me. But in the 1828 Webster's Dictionary entry, the definition for humble is low, opposed to high or lofty, modest, meek, submissive, opposed to proud, haughty, arrogant, or assuming. In an evangelical sense, having a low opinion of oneself and a deep sense of unworthiness in the sight of God. So that was 1828. If you look at today's dictionary.com entry, you'll get definitions like not proud or arrogant, but modest, having a feeling of insignificance, inferiority, subservience. Low in rank, importance, status, quality. Courteous or respectful. Low in height, level, etc. Small in size. And the reason why I w- would encourage you to look at those two different entries is because you'll see the meaning of the word and the way that everyday people apply it in speech or in writing tends to change over time. We can see, looking at these two, that while the definitions aren't polar opposites, there has been a shift in seeing humble as a comparison of lowly man to holy God toward a comparison of one person to another. Humble pie moments are those times when God lovingly brings us face to face with ourselves, our pride, our stubbornness, our self-centeredness, so that he can reshape us into people who look more like Jesus. When we think of humble pie, we may tend to think of people like Oscar winners, music artists, professional athletes, and of course, politicians. When we hear them give their acceptance speeches, we might hear things like, "I am so humbled to have been chosen." And we hear that with a little bit of skepticism, do we not? Because we think that a more honest response from them might be, "I feel pretty stinking proud to stand before you today. I deserve this award, and I would have been completely affronted had you chosen somebody else." But before we run too far down that path of blame and shame, we should probably examine ourselves. Now, the passage Kevin just read is essentially a recipe for humble pie. A passage where James confronts the early church with some hard truths so that they could grow deeper in faith and community. And if we receive those words with open hearts, we'll discover how God uses humility to do a few things. One, humility shows us what's really going on. James starts with a tough question. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? Now, here's what I want you to hear. James is not talking to the outside world. James is talking directly to the church. People who love God, who worship together, who pray together, and yet they fight. They argue. They criticize and gossip about each other. And James says, the problem is not out there. The problem is in here. James says our desires are at war inside us. Now, not all desires are sinful, because we know that God gives us desires, holy desires. But when our desires try to sit on the throne where God belongs, they become destructive. We want control. And when we don't get it, we get frustrated. We want comfort. And when we don't get that, we get irritated. We want validation. When we don't get that, we feel jealous. We want our way. And when we don't get that, well, pity everyone who comes in your path. Humble pie forces us to pause and say, maybe the conflict isn't with them. Maybe it is in me. This was one of the hardest lessons I had to learn early in my marriage, because there were some things about my spouse I did not like. And I would pray to God, change him. God, please change him. God, please, please, please change him. And it didn't work. Things didn't change until I started looking within myself and seeing my part in the conflict. Once I started praying first for God to change me, That's when I started to see change. So think of a time when you were so sure you were right and later realized you were not. Perhaps it was an argument with your spouse. Maybe it was a disagreement at work. Maybe it was an assumption you made about someone's intentions. And when the truth came out, you had to eat a slice of what? Humble pie. James is saying, if you're fighting on the outside, the path to healing starts inside yourself. Another thing humility does is it exposes us. It exposes our spiritual distance. And James, he doesn't hold back. He calls them adulterous people. Now, he doesn't mean adultery literally. He means spiritual unfaithfulness. When our hearts chase after status and power, comfort and recognition, we drift from God. And James tells us that friendship with the world is enmity with God. And James isn't saying that we can't enjoy life or be involved in the culture. What he's talking about here is alignment. What shapes you? What defines your identity? What determines your priorities? Humble pie exposes that sometimes we want God, but we also want to be in charge. We want God's blessings, but not necessarily his boundaries. We want God's comfort, but not necessarily his correction. And James says this tension pulls us away from the God who loves us. But here's the good news. He gives more grace. God's grace is greater than our pride, greater than our wandering, greater than our stubbornness. Another thing humility does is it teaches us how we come back to God. And this section is kind of a spiritual how-to for returning to God. It's the heart of the message. He starts by saying, submit yourselves then to God. We don't like that word. We don't like to hear submit, submission. Our culture equates submission with defeat. Submission is not defeat. It is alignment. It is saying, God, you are in charge. You lead. I follow. It is the posture of humility. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You don't fight Satan by gritting your teeth. You fight Satan by standing under God's authority. Humble submission is spiritual strength. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. This is one of the most beautiful promises in Scripture. Every step you take toward God, he takes toward you. Now, that's not to say that he will only meet us halfway, but that when we turn to him, he is there, unlike us. When you kneel, he lifts you. When you reach, he embraces. When you confess, he forgives. Wash your hands, purify your hearts. So humble pie isn't about shame. It's about restoration, repentance, cleansing. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. God never humiliates. He only lifts. Pride pushes us down, but humility allows God to raise us up. Why would we ever be thankful for humble pie? Because humility is God's pathway to healing. Some wounds can only be healed when we finally admit, I can't fix this myself. Because humility restores relationships. You know, many marriages have turned around not because one of them won the argument, but because one of them said, I was wrong, and I'm sorry. Many church conflicts have ended when someone took the first step toward reconciliation instead of defending their need to be right. We're thankful for humble pie because humility unlocks spiritual power. Pride blocks blessings, but humility opens doors. We are thankful for humble pie because humility makes us more like Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God, chose the way of humility. He was a servant king. He washed feet. He welcomed sinners. He carried a cross. He laid down his life. When we humble ourselves, we walk in his footsteps. And that is something to be thankful for. Because humble pie exposes where we've drifted, but it also shows us the path home. So, some practical applications, how you can eat humble pie well. Ask God to show you where pride is hiding. Pride often disguises itself in many forms: preference, opinion, personality. Own your part in the conflict. You cannot control others, but you can take responsibility for your part. Practice the phrase, I may be wrong. Say it with me. I may be wrong. I know that was hard. Say, I'm sorry without a but. B-U-T. When you say, I'm sorry, but, that's not an apology. The word but turns repentance into deflection. And choose reconciliation over the need to be right. Humble pie never tastes sweet at first. It's uncomfortable. It is convicting. It is exposing. But when you swallow it, you find grace, you find peace, you find spiritual strength, and you find your way back to God. And you realize this strange dish is something to be thankful for. Friends, true humility is not a quick and easy thing to learn, just like with grandma's pie crust or grandma's gravy that some of us still can't get right after 20 years of trying. It will be a learning process for the rest of my life and yours. But thankfully, we have the Word as our guide, the Spirit as our helper, and a loving Father who is quick to show us our sin and merciful to forgive it. Because the God who calls you to be humble is the same God who promises to lift you up. Let us pray. Gracious God, thank you for loving us enough to confront us. Thank you for your grace that meets us in our pride, our stubbornness, our brokenness. Teach us to humble ourselves before you, to submit, to resist the enemy, to draw near, and to let your Spirit cleanse and renew us. Lord, where we have drifted, draw us back. Where we have fought with others, give us peace. Where we have resisted you, soften our hearts. Make us people who reflect the humility of Jesus. And as we humble ourselves before you, lift us up. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let us stand and affirm our faith with the Apostles' Creed.